Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is recorded in the first part of the 58th chapter of the book of the prophet Isaiah. Shout it aloud, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion, and to the house of Jacob their sin. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry, and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. That is our text. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, my dear Christian friends, in the congregation of my youth, the confessional portion of the communion service was not usually placed where it is on our page 15 liturgy at the beginning of the communion service. In both the English language services and the German language services, it was customary to place the confessional portion of the sermon immediately after the sermon, just prior to the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Moreover, the confessional service that was used was not quite the same as the one which we have in our communion service on page 15. The service that was used for confession was like one of the options which we have on page 46 in the confessional service in the Lutheran hymnal. The option to which I am referring speaks in this way. The pastor says, "Now that we have heard the word of God, let us kneel and make confession of our sins." And while the congregation is kneeling, the pastor then addresses the communicants and says, "I now ask you before God, is this your sincere confession, that you heartily repent of your sins, believe on Jesus Christ, and sincerely and earnestly purpose with the assistance of God the Holy Spirit henceforth to amend your sinful lives? Then declare so by saying yes." Thereupon the communicants would respond with the yes. As a little boy observing that service and listening and not being eligible to attend the Lord's Supper, I was quite impressed with the affirmative answer given by the congregation in that confessional portion of the service. I think I was perhaps even a little bit more impressed in the German service than in the English service. One does not have to know a great deal of German to know that the counterpart of yes in the English language is ja in German. And that Yah rang out so impressively in that church of my youth. For there was no carpeting in the nave, and there weren't padded kneelers either. And so with a lot of hard surfaces in that building, as the people were on their knees speaking against a hard bench or toward a hard floor, the Yah resounded so emphatically. Now, to be sure, the affirmative answer was an answer given to all three of the questions. Do you repent of your sins? Do you believe on Jesus Christ? And do you promise with the assistance of God the Holy Spirit to amend your sinful lives? The yes was to all three of the questions. But I was impressed with the fact that the yes came so quickly after the last of the three questions. Do you promise to amend your sinful life? It was placed upon my memory that this too, a sincere promise to attempt to amend our sinful lives, is part of our faith relationship with God. And the prophet Isaiah in our text speaks about that very kind of relationship too. For we could subsume the words of our text under the theme, amend your sinful lives. As soon as that imperative is given, we would ask the logical question, what are we to improve? What are we to amend? If we would begin to explore the answers to that question this morning, we would be here for a long time. And if we would run short of things to talk about, we would have plenty of acquaintances who could assist us with things that we ought to amend in our sinful lives. But we need not explore all the things. We can just glance quickly at some of those things which Isaiah brings to our attention in our text. In our text, we have a people who have had a certain amount of outward piety and religion. They weren't remiss in going through some of their spiritual exercises, for we read in the text that they say to God, "Why have we fasted? And you have not seen. Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed?" Sackcloth and ashes were there, and a calling upon God too. Still there was something missing, for there was oppression in the land. The poor were not being taken care of. Those who were hungry were not being given food, and those without shelter were not being cared for. The people in the days of Isaiah had not listened to this particular command of God, amend your sinful lives. Profession and action were not in harmony. So the Lord has to come to the people and say this to them, your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. This is the kind of fasting I have chosen. Loose the chains of injustice. Untie the cords of the yoke. Set the oppressed free. Break every yoke. Share your food with the hungry. Provide the poor wanderer with shelter. When you see the naked, clothe him. Turn not away from your own flesh and blood. Yes, amend your sinful lives. And if we would put into a general category these various things which the prophet Isaiah was called upon to speak to the people of Israel, we might say that what Isaiah is urging here is a concern for our fellow human beings. We still have the poor with us today. We still have the hungry in our midst today, those without shelter. What is our attitude over against such? Hardness, coldness, lack of concern, or do we have a love for our fellow human beings? The Lord says, amend your sinful lives. Take care of those who need help. We don't have to go too far away either, because we can go into our own work life, our own academic life, our own home. What do we sometimes find there too? Unfortunately, I think we find what Isaiah mentions in verse 4, quarreling, strife, and wicked fists. These are the things that we ought to strive to do away with. Yes, we ought to amend our sinful lives. But we ought to ask another question. Not only what are we to do, but why are we to do this? The answer comes in the text that the Lord wants us to do it. Shout it aloud, do not hold back, raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the house of Jacob their sin. Like the piercing sound of the trumpet, the Lord wants us to understand from his word that he has no use for sham piety. And so it's the Lord's will that we amend our sinful lives. But there's more than that. Why does the Lord want us to amend our sinful lives? Perhaps James can give us the answer. Faith without works is dead. The Lord is concerned about the quality of our faith, about the genuineness of our faith. And it is he who wants to nurture our faith, and that faith also includes the striving to amend our sinful lives. But there's still more. And the more comes also in the very words which I have read from the first verse of our text. Shout it aloud and do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people. Ah, that's a beautiful word. God calls us his people. Not because of what we have done. No, restored, redeemed, forgiven. Those are things which he has done for us. He has called us by the power of his word and sacrament. He has called us through the Holy Spirit and made us his people. What a marvelous, powerful, enabling word. My people, you are. That is why we would strive to amend our sinful lives. Can you think of a more glorious title than that? That the Lord should call you his very own. When he calls you his own, he does give you both the will and the power to amend the sinful life and to remain his people in both word and deed. In the supper which we are about to receive, we too want to answer yes to all those questions which I spoke before. We do repent of our sins. We do believe on Jesus Christ. And we want earnestly, with the assistance of God the Holy Spirit, to amend our sinful lives. So we have the assurance in the supper, as God is in action in Christ again and gives us the very price which was paid for our pardon, we have the assurance in that supper that we still are the people of God. Therefore, we can go forth in peace. And in the words of another liturgy, we would want to do this: return no man evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Honor all men. Serve the Lord with joy, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, God has made us his people and gives us both the will and the power as his people to amend daily our sinful lives. Amen.